Thank you so much for being here today. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity. Once again, thank Pastor Gillett, Dr. Weaver, and certainly it's a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. I'd ask you please to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. I will be reading from verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Now, of course, just already preaching this or teaching this class, I'm sorry, it can maybe make me nervous, but thinking that I'm in the presence of royalty makes me even more nervous. I want to get through the class and still have my head at the end of the class, Brother Temp. So certainly appreciate that, the opportunity. The series that we're in, of course, is called Fruit by the Bushel. And the title of today's lesson, Lesson 5, Rooted in Christ's Love. 1 John chapter 4, I'll read verses 7 through 11. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the privilege that we have to hold it in our hands and to study it, Father, to apply it to our lives. Father, I ask you now, dear Father, you fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me in everything I say and do to glorify you and be exactly what you want me to say, Father. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would convict us and challenge us, encourage us, dear Father, that we might be edified, encouraged to grow in your love and to love one another and to love, increase in our love for the Lord and for God, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you, Lord, to express that love to others who need the Lord Jesus Christ, who need salvation. Father, I pray now that this hour, Father, we might grow spiritually, that you might be pleased and honored and glorified. All these things I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We see here in this text, we're dealing, of course, about the love of Christ and our need to grow in the love of Christ and every day be rooted in his love and live our lives walking with the Lord and growing in his love and expressing that love for the Lord, expressing that love towards everyone around us, our fellow Christians, as well as those in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this generation and society that we live in today, many think about love, they're skeptic about it. We think of marriage relationships that last only a short while, and some do not even get married. They live together just trying to see if they can make it and then maybe get married. It is a passing thing. They find what they think is love, but then after a while they find that they're not in love. They do not love each other, and they go their separate ways. I think just this week I was reading about a lady that is accused of killing her husband. I think it was like a day or two after that they got married and apparently was to get the life insurance. So instead of being in love with him, I think it was more she was in love with Mr. Money. So we see that it's something temporal for the love of men. But not having the true love, the agape love of God, that is what we need. And we can only have if we have been born again and if we know God, as we see in verse 7. Now, sometimes even children, not only in marriages, but children can be, the parents are absent from the home, the parents are busy working and there's no parent in the home and they're on their own and they grow up really not loving or not having the love they need as children. And so then to comprehend the love of God, it's hard for them to understand and know what it really is. The world's love is a temporal passing love. But God's love is a true love, an eternal love, a pure love, a sacrificial love. It is the genuine love that we all need every day of our lives, and we need to grow in it. Now, we need to fully examine this truth. You know, God is love. But in understanding that, we must understand the nature of God, and that not only, of course, that God is love, but that God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So in understanding his love, we understand that he is holy, he is light, he is pure. So his character, his light and holiness cannot be separate from his love. But thank God, because of his holiness and that he is light and that he is just, and we see all of his attributes, that he can have this pure, true, genuine love because of his holiness. We have the true love. But what really is God's love? So let's look at this. First of all, Roman number 1, the love of God defined. The love of God defined. We'll start there in verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. Now, sometimes we might know somebody that maybe they cooked a meal for us or did something special, fixed a special dessert and brought it to us, and you know, just so delicious, we enjoyed it so much, we say, well, you know, that is just like Rachel to do that for us and to make that special food, that dessert that we just love so much. I remember a lady in Mexico that when I was growing up, she used to make tamales. I don't know if you know what that is, but I love those tamales with corn and chicken. She'd fix up with the chicken a special hot sauce, and I just love those things. I could probably eat 10 and not even think about it, right? And I just grow fat. But I love those tamales, and she would make those for my birthday. You know, I knew that, you know, she was special to me, and she made me feel special and loved, and she loved our family, and our family were friends with this dear lady. And, you know, I just said, well, that's just like her to do that. And we might say that about, you know, somebody that we know, a friend, a loved one, a family member. But about God, his nature is love. It is his nature. God defines love. He does loving acts because he is love. And so God is love. And without God, we cannot truly love. Nor does man understand or know true love without God. So letter A, love originated with God. Love originated with God. People try to get love, try to attain love, try to achieve it. And then once they get it, they try to maintain it and keep it. And then find that they can't. And then start fighting and arguing. And why? Because if God is not present, whether it's in the marriage or in any relationship, then there will not be true love. God must be present. God must be present in the heart and in our relationships and every aspect of our life. It is a structure of his being to love. 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So we need to be saved. We need to know him as our personal Savior, but we must also dwell in God. We have to walk with him. We have to study his word, let his word dwell in us richly, and walk with him in prayer every day so that we might have and show this true love. God is the originator then of love and of every true love relationship. Romans 3:11 says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." You know, God is the one that truly loves. He is the one that has sought after us, that seeks after us. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. Now, if any man says, you know, well, it's just that I was really looking after God, and I don't know where God, I can't find God, and I'm just looking for him. No, God is looking for every person. He came and found us where we are. Even being enemies of God, even being in our sin, the Lord came to look for us and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He looks for us. Remember, even when Adam sinned against God, God was waiting to spend that time, that relationship with Adam. And he went calling for Adam, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" And that sin had separated him from God, Adam and Eve. And the Lord went looking for Adam. Thank God that even when we are unfaithful and in sin, he comes looking for us to convict us and to bring us back to him, bring us to repentance and a right relationship, a right loving relationship with him. God seeks us, and he seeks us in love. 1 John 4:19, "We love him because he first loved us." The Lord showed and proved to us truly what love is, and he demonstrated love. We all long to know or we all want to know that we're loved. It is a need that God has created in us. We are created with a need for God. We are created with a need for Him because He is love. Well, in December 2010, there was a lady in Spain who was arrested for faking her own kidnapping. Well, she wanted to check whether or not her husband, what he would do to rescue her and to truly express his love, to really know that she loved him. And so she supposedly was kidnapped and sent text messages to his phone with pictures of her all tied up and bound and asking for 20,000 euros and sent several warnings and saying, you know, don't contact the police, just send this money. Well, the husband did go to the police and they found this lady not far from her home at a shopping center. And at first she said, well, the kidnapper, he let me go. But then she admitted, well, you know, I did all this to find out whether or not my husband really loved me and what he would do to get me back. I wanted to find out. Well, this lady was not sure of her husband's love. But God is not like that. We can be absolutely sure of His love. He doesn't leave us guessing and wondering about it. He makes it certain. He tells us up front of His love. He showed us in His Word, but He demonstrated through His actions. And every day He demonstrates not only the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He gives us eternal life and takes away our sins, He shows us every day that He loves us. Every good gift comes from Him. We're here this morning and have the Word of God to study. We're here, listen to the Word of God. We're in a nice building. We have air conditioning. You know, we're not out in the desert, scorching heat, getting sunburned. out in the desert in the open of Texas. We have this building because God loves us. We have these nice seats to sit in because God loves us. Everything you have. You have a spouse, God loves you. You have children, God shows that He loves you. You have grandchildren, that is a demonstration that God loves you. Every good thing, every day. His mercies are new every morning. Every day the Lord reminds you and reminds me that He loves us. Knowing this, it should help us grow in our love for Him. Now think this, that you know God created us for a need for love, a need for Him. I was just seeing this week they were talking about the planet Saturn, how you know beautiful it is, and of course these so-called scientists come up from a point of not believing in God, believing in evolution. But yet they could admire this planet and all its beauty and majesty. How could they admire this and not think there is an almighty God? Imagine His majesty, not only this one planet, but the whole universe and all things that we see and even so many things that we do not know. The majesty and glory of God. Well, we know there's a need for love. We have a need for love. So that very fact also should demonstrate that God exists. Because the only way that need can be met is to have God and to know Him and to be born again. Letter B, we see also love is orchestrated by God. There in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Even in the original language in Greek, it also reads that love is out of God. As I was looking at that. So the source of love, true love, is God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So to know God, we have to be born again, born of God. And we increase in our knowledge as we walk with Him in the Word of God and in prayer. So godly love only comes through God's Spirit working in us. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So how can we demonstrate this love orchestrated by God? Every day we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Examine our hearts, confess our sins, make sure we're right with God every day. Start the day off. Ask the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yielding to Him, yielding to His Holy Spirit, that He controls us. And it is God showing His love through us. True love can only be present in our life when we are walking with the Lord, rooted in Christ. It is not that we're loving, it is that God is loving through us. It is His love. And that love is an outpouring of His presence in us. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So we see God's command there to be tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How can we do that? We cannot do it apart from Him. We cannot do it apart from His power and the Holy Spirit having control of us. So we must make sure that we've yielded ourselves to Him. So the Bible clearly says in our text that we must be born of God. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God." If today you are here and you've not received Christ as your Savior, there's good news. You can be born of God. You still have the opportunity. It is good news that not only we can be born of God and be born again, but we can know God. Some might say, "Well, I don't believe in God because I don't see Him, and you know, I don't talk to Him. I don't, you know, where is He? I just don't believe in those things. I think it's fairy tale." Well, the Bible says we can be born and we can know God. The Lord wants you to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to know Him better. He wants you to grow spiritually. He wants us to be rooted in His love and to live it out, apply it to our lives, and live it. It is what, you know, should draw those that don't know Christ to see that the Christians, we love each other. Let's just say, "Wow, you love this way all the time? Well, I want to have what you have. I want to know this God that is love." So we see here that we can be born of God and know God. So it ought to be obvious to those that we love, you know, that we love the Lord. It should be obvious that we love each other. 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" How can I say I love God if I mistreat and hate, mean to my brother in Christ or sister in Christ? How can I say I love God? Well, then I have to be honest with God and myself, confess my sin and ask the Lord to control me and forgive, ask for forgiveness and love. If we walk in the flesh, we allow pride to rise up and we start thinking, "Well, you know, I love Him, I just don't like Him." You know, well, it is true that, you know, we offend. The Bible says, you know, offenses will come, but the Lord also tells us to forgive. The Lord tells us to love. Now, it may be that, you know, I'm a hard person to like, a hard person to love. You know, I'm certainly a hard person for the Lord to love. God hates sin. We say we're hard people to love, but God loves us anyway. God came anyway for us to save us and to give us salvation and to give us true love so that we might know what it is. So we ought to forgive as He forgives. Romans 12:18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." So, you know, it can be hard when you're driving down the freeway and it seems like every day it happens, going to work, someone cuts me off. Even I think it was on Thursday, almost had two wrecks just getting close to work. trying to get over, and the car is right, not wanting to let me get over. You know, they see that once you get over, and they speed up. And then the other car is putting the brakes on. So it's like, boy, I just barely got in and avoided having a wreck. And then when I was turning, the car that was in a turn-only lane decided to try to keep going straight. So I'm turning, and they're going straight. So, you know, I'm already a nervous wreck before I even get to work. As you will understand, driving is a dangerous thing. Well, it can be very easy to get upset and get angry. But you know, the Lord says that we should not respond in kind. Or if someone honks at us and starts shouting at us, we should not respond that way, but to love and to forgive. So first of all, we must be born of God, and then we know God, and as we know God and we're born of Him, we can grow in that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see also in Roman numeral 2, the love of God displayed, and I must hurry. Through His expression of love, we can also learn how to express our love to others. We see letter A, that His love is sacrificial there in verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That word manifested there in verse 9, it means plain, open, clearly visible to the eye, obvious to the understanding, apparent, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. It is something clear. The Lord clearly demonstrated his love to us because he sent the Lord Jesus to die for our sins that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. We think of maybe a manifest or an invoice, perhaps a ship bringing cargo to the port. It shows what's on the ship, the goods, what has been exported, exhibited. And so the master of the vessel, the owner of the ship will have this and show what is on the ship, what it's carrying. It makes known what's on the ship. So the Lord makes known to us his love. God says, I have a manifest and I want you to see my love for you. I sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and give you eternal life, to die for your sins, a sin debt that you could not pay for, you without hope. And in sin, the Lord Jesus came for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God displayed his love through his sacrificial giving. You know, the Lord even commands, of course, the husband to love the wives. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. In other words, this same love, this agape love, the same love that Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, the husbands are to love their wives. Now, is there a marriage in trouble this morning? You know anybody with a marriage is in trouble? There is a solution for it, and that is to confess sins to the Lord, to yield to the Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and have God's love in that marriage relationship. That is the only way to heal that marriage relationship, is for Christ to be at the center, for God's love to be present there. But there is a solution. There's no reason for all the divorces. Christ is the answer. His love is the answer, because it's an unselfish and true love. A lot of times, well, the husband will leave the wife, or the wife, you know, talked about the wife killing her husband for a selfish reason. So that true love, when there's a love of Christ, selfishness goes out the door, Christ is center, and that marriage will be healed and be what it should be. In our desire to have a godly love, we must remember that godly love is a sacrificial love, and the Lord showed it through the cross of Calvary. An unknown author, wrote, Jesus did not come to make God's love possible, but to make God's love visible. His love is visible. His blood accomplished the miraculous for us. So there in verse 10 it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Well, that word propitiation means a covering, to cover our sins. It is the same word used for the mercy seat that was on top of the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant, which had the law. And it was used, and it was on the mercy seat that the priest would sprinkle the blood and cover the transgressions that were against the law. So the same, Jesus covers us. He is our propitiation, covers our sins. 1 John 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It does not say just for some, but the whole world. There is no excuse then, because salvation is available to all men. Forgiveness is available to all men. The love of God is available to all men. It is not the church or the sacraments or good deeds that is a propitiation for our sins. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood. Many times a soul winner will go knocking on doors and will ask, you know, are you 100% sure if you die today you'll go to heaven? And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I go to church and I'm good, I'm fine, thank you, I have this covered. Well, no, if you don't have Christ as Savior, you don't have it covered. Only Jesus can cover us and take away our sins. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It is he that removes our transgressions. We cannot remove our transgressions, but once he takes it away, they are gone. Gone forever, gone completely, gone to never come back. This should encourage us to grow in his love. Letter B, his love is faithful. There in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, I will not read all this. Just notice the first part. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is a question. And the answer is no one. Nothing. Nobody can separate us. I cannot separate myself. There's a co-worker that I have that he asked me. He's an atheist and Buddhist. He also says he's a Buddhist and atheist. But he says, what can I do to convert you? And I asked him what? To drink strawberry milkshakes? Then he started laughing, you know. Well, you might get me to drink strawberry milkshakes, but you're not going to convert me to being an atheist or a Buddhist because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot separate myself from God. Praise the Lord. There's nothing that I can do that can separate me from his love. His love is eternal. His presence is eternal. I cannot lose my salvation. You cannot lose your salvation if you've trusted in him. Praise God for this. In John 13, 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Well, think about Thomas, doubting Thomas. Even Thomas, the Lord Jesus loved to the end. Think about Peter that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord forgave him too. He loved Peter to the end. And we might think, well, you know, I've sinned against the Lord. I've not been faithful as I should be. Whatever it is, the Lord forgives us. And he is faithful and loves us to the end. We see last of all, Roman number 3, and quickly, the love of God developed. There in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Well, first of all, of course, to love others, the Bible says we must love him. Mark 12, 29 through 30, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, the main thing in my life is not to see if I have the nicest clothes, the nicest car, the most money, the nicest house, to be the most educated, the most talented, the most sophisticated. The greatest thing in life is to love God and to know him and to love others. Because we must love one another, letter B, Mark 12, 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. It may be that we might be bitter towards someone, but we must forgive and love that person. It may be someone is offended at us and bitter at us. We must go to that brother or sister in Christ and get it right and ask for forgiveness. Matthew 5, 23 through 24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. So we should seek reconciliation, forgive, and to be forgiven. Well, you know, as we walk through Christ's love, we can love others. And even if they offend us, we should forgive. There was a wife that asked another lady, a friend, to help her clean her house because she wanted to do a special day for her husband. He was at work. So they cleaned the kitchen really well. They scrubbed the kitchen floor. They set the table really nice. And they cleaned the house and fixed food, did everything. But her husband came home early. Well, he had on muddy boots that he walked across the kitchen floor to wash his hands in the sink. And the other lady says, oh, no, look at all that mud. Now the mud's all over the floor. So the wife said, well, I know his boots bring in the mud, but the boots bring him in too. So that which I love, you know, the boots brought him in, so I can overlook the mud because it's my husband. So it is that with God's love, we should overlook and forgive others. Now, we notice the key word there in verse 11, ought. It means, oh, that which is due, the good will that is due. We ought. The Lord loved us first, so we ought to love one another. Well, in closing, we notice this, we must express his love. We express His love there in letter C, first of all, by giving the gospel to others, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We express our love through giving of ourselves. We express our love through giving financially, giving our time. Missionary Amy Carmichael said this, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." So it is that to truly love, we must give. The Lord showed this genuine love to us. He manifested it to us. Do we want to grow in love? We must walk with Him. Do you want to know what true love is? If you're without Christ today, today is the day to be saved, be born of God. And we can be rooted in Christ's love and grow if we walk with Him every day. Spend time in His Word and grow spiritually. May that be true of us, that we can demonstrate and show the love of God. May others see in us Christ and see that we are the children of God because of the love that we have for each other and the love that we have for God and for those that are in the world that do not know Him and need the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. We ask Your blessings upon the service to come. Help us to apply Your Word to our lives. Help us to live it for Your honor and glory. All these things I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.